This is a Glassbox Media podcast.
Welcome to the Blank Coscast.
I didn't know I was looking. I didn't know if it was me or not.
Seamless. Hello and welcome to the Blank Podcast, the podcast where we talk to well-known people about their lives, their careers, and those difficult and troubling moments along the way. And I'm Giles Pray Phillips, and I was rudely interrupted by Jim Daly.
Well, you were. Sorry. Also, had I done the intro, I would have realise I still don't know what the new intro is, so I've got halfway through it and struggled anyway. So I need.
Well, you can edit this one, and then hopefully it will sort of go in there. I mean, or you get that line learner.
Yeah, that actually might help with me. Yeah, that's a good idea. I thought you were waiting for me, and then this is the problem with Zoom. It's, you know.
Well, normally we're quite in sync, but something went wrong today.
It's one of those days. It happens.
I've had a weird week, actually, mate. It's been a weird one.
What way?
Weird as in shit.
Oh, right. Oh, okay.
just, it's one of those things where in the middle of a really good day, people happen.
People do happen.
Yeah, and sometimes people aren't very... A bit annoying.
Real life people or online people?
Oh, both.
Oh. Yeah, people can be annoying. I mean, it's tough, isn't it? If someone's like upset you or done something annoying, it's like, we've done this before, like, you never know what's happening in people's lives. So,
yeah.
It's kind of, sometimes it sort of helps to sort of let it go and be like, well, maybe they're having a bad day, but it still hurts. Like, it doesn't sort of take away the hurt from something. And also, like, I've noticed people in a few of my WhatsApp groups getting a bit on edge, and little things boil over more than they have done. And I just think it's the effect of being a year into lockdown. I think it's made people go a little bit weird. Which I do understand.
Yes, we should caveat that we're still in the middle of a very difficult period globally, aren't we? So I will cut people a lot of slack.
Yeah. Hopefully we're coming out of it, though. You know, hopefully there's a bit of sort of hope on the horizon. But I do think it has been a tough time, I think. I think we'd all probably be a bit, I'd say more relaxed. But I don't know, just I've definitely noticed in the last few months, I think lockdown is really, really affecting people. I'm sorry, man. That sucks.
No. We shouldn't start off on a negative footing.
It's not negative. These things happen. That's part of life, you know. And it's. But you were having a good day. You know, you can.
Well, I'm having a good day now because we've just had a wonderful conversation with Taj Atwal, who is a brilliant person as well as a very, very fantastic actress. She's been in lots of things. You would have seen her in Line of Duty, The Syndicate, which is on ITV, Death on the Tyne, which she was in with Sean Gibson and Johnny Vegas. She's excellent in that. And she's just, she's fantastic fun to be with.
She was, really fun guest. Really thoughtful and positive guest. So we talk a lot about sort of, you know, letting things go and the way she approaches her life and... being confident that things will happen for you and really refreshing actually sort of approach to work and to life and I think actually quite poignant because right now I think that is sort of approaches that we could all try and probably benefit from living in this kind of weird existence that we are at the moment. But just a very fun, really, really fun person to chat to for an hour. And I learned a lot about rip speed. You know, these are worlds I didn't think I'd ever, you know about. But so informative as well as fun.
Well, funny enough, actually, we don't plan our little conversations at the beginning, but having said that, I've had a tricky week, probably best for me to let a lot of things go. And that was something, obviously, that Taj talked about a lot. And yeah. It's something that I took away from the pod for sure and will be putting into place as much as possible.
That's really good. And that ties in as well with something else we've said in the pod, that sometimes things happen in your week, life, year, whatever, that are sort of ready for you at that time. So you needed to hear that today.
Hmm.
And she didn't know she was going to talk about that or that you needed to hear it. So sometimes, yeah, the world does sort of, there is a bit of synergy and it does sort of make things happen for you when you need them. So, yeah, just another example of, you know, why we enjoy this podcast so much.
Exactly.
There are teachable, badable, made a word up this week. So that's you know, that's great. You know, there are these things that happen for a reason and they can help us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I took an awful lot away from this chat and it was lovely to talk to her. So thank you, Taj, for coming on. Before we dig into this week's podcast, can I read you a lovely tweet I've got here from Kelly B. Crawford?
Please do.
She says, anyone who knows me knows Miranda Raisin is my fave actress. But listening to this, oh my God, so much that I just oomph. When she spoke about being a mom and constantly living... worrying about the worst, it was like a validation of holy shit, it's not just me, I'm not crazy. And it really isn't you, just you, Kelly. I think, you know, for most parents we feel that quite a lot of the time. So I'm glad that obviously you got some validation and some empathy there for your own situation. But yeah, I'm glad that you enjoyed the podcast and got that out of it.
Me too. Yeah, Miranda was a fantastic guest, and thank you, Kelly, for sharing that. Mm. You know, you never know who else might see that tweet as well, and that might help in their day as well. So, thank you for sharing. And yeah, Miranda was a fantastic guest. Really, really great. I've got one here from another episode where we had a great guest. It was a Troy Townsend episode, which is an episode that continues to resonate with people, and we get tweets, you know, most days about it. This is from Nobby Clark, and I recognise Nobby from my Palace podcast. I think he might be a Palace fan as well. He says, I'm finally caught up with this episode. Glad I did. I knew some of Troy's story, but this is fantastically honest insight. Thank you all, and keep up the good work, Troy. And yes, it is. If you haven't heard the episode yet, please do. It's a very, very raw and honest talk from Troy about his life, and yeah, continues to resonate with people as well. So
yeah, big time.
And thanks, Nobby, for that tweet. You know, nice to it's you know, we really appreciate the tweets because it sort of makes us feel like we're heading in the right direction. It makes our guests, I think, feel like it was the right decision to come on here and tell their story, and it all helps each other. So you know, we do appreciate it.
Yeah, we love receiving your tweets. Yeah, so thank you for delivering them to us on a regular basis. And yeah, totally reiterate what you said there about the Troy Townsend episode. It was a really touching and insightful episode. And big thanks again to Troy for being so candid on that one.
Yeah, he's top man. He's a real top man. I think that's it. I think that's all. That's I think we've done our admin. We've done our chats. I mean, this is like the perfect intro to the show. So. I'm going to let you do this one. Actually, I feel like I always do the link into the podcast.
Well, we've started having our, you know, I start the pod now sometimes, then you do the out bit, you start the out bit, and then you do this bit, this link.
You do this link, and then then you do the outro.
Oh God!
Because I tried to do the intro, didn't I? And I screwed it up. So,
so what are you saying? There's a good chance you might screw up the ending as well.
Yes, or we'll both maybe let's try and do the outro at the same time, and we'll both talk.
Some sort of synergy. Yeah, well, just talk over each other. That's really great to hear, isn't it?
Thanks. Great radio.
This is Taj Achwal on the Blank Podcast.
It's so funny. So I've been recording my singing lessons on my phone. I don't know why it started doing this. It's automatically renaming it as Howling Wolf.
Ah, but what?
I feel so offended by my own phone. So I recorded it on there, and then I looked at it, renamed it as Howling Wolf.
But what a great name for a band, though. I think...
what a great name for a band, and also an insult to my singing voice, iPhone. There you go. Named as Howling Wolf.
So you're doing singing lessons? Tell us about that.
You know, it's not for anything.
No, no.
It's not for anything. It's like the one thing that I've always wanted to do for myself.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you just, there's some things that you want to do that is just solely for you. I do it only for me, just to practice. And I have a tutor that I do it over Skype with. And yeah, it's just so, I originally wanted to be a singer and then learned very quickly that I wasn't good enough. So my goal was to just do it for a year and see where I get.
So is it musical theatre that you were into, or did you want, are you talking like kind of pop and rock kind of solo artist?
No, I wanted to be an actual singer. Yeah, solo artist, singer, had a karaoke machine and everything, but I just couldn't sing.
My wife's in a choir, and obviously the kind of thing that she gets from there is that everybody can sing. You know, I know we, you know, obviously we're all, it's all different levels, but, you know, there is that kind of thing that we all can sing. And I think that you can be trained, like everything, I suppose. You can practice these things and get better at
them. You can. Absolutely. And that's like, kind of, that's what I tell myself. Just a bit of practice, see where I get to it. Yeah, I mean, I can hold a tune now. I've had loads of lessons and I did it at drama school and stuff. But I just thought it was hilarious that my phone automatically saved me as a howling wolf. I just thought, borderline offensive.
Thanks, phone.
Thanks, phone. Just when I thought I was getting good, that's what it called me.
It'd be better if it had, like, called it, I don't know, a beautiful angel.
Screaming banshee or something.
So what's the go-to songs then?
At the moment, my singing teacher is, you do start with musical theatre, just to kind of get you technically trained, I suppose. It's just an easier route in, I think, with musical theatre. So I can't even remember what I'm singing now. Lots of Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Okay.
Oh, the classics.
So
the classics, yeah.
Because Fans of the Opera, that's quite hard.
God, I'm not that good. Come on.
Well, I'm just thinking like the Sarah Brightman one where she does that really, that huge falsetto that she does at the end. Yeah, that would be, you wouldn't want to start there.
I'm alto at best.
Okay.
So things like, no, but he's trying to encourage me to sing out of my comfort zone.
Okay.
So things like Whistle Down the Wind is the song that I'm learning at the moment because it's slightly higher and out of my comfort zone. This song's from Hamilton. Burn is one of them. But yeah. We'll see. I'll let you know in a year when I'm doing a musical.
But like, it paid off. It worked.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's nice though, because I love singing around the house, and I really irritate everyone else in the house when I do it. And my kids, I'm always making up silly songs and stuff. But I really enjoy, I mean, it is a lovely thing, singing, I have to say, even though, like, you know, I don't consider myself a singer in any way, and I'm not very good. But yeah,
Find it quite cathartic?
Yeah, massively. In fact, actually, before we jumped on this, I was singing along to something. I'm not going to say what it was, but
you can't leave us hanging.
Yeah, come on, this is a blank podcast. We share things on this podcast.
We share. Okay, it was Journey.
don't stop believing. That's classic.
Well, it came up on my. It came up on the playlist. I had it on random on shuffle, and it just came on. And that is obviously
great.
A huge power ballad. So, you know, I felt like I was hitting those notes.
You see, that's the thing. In our heads, we're hitting those notes, and then you hear it back, and you're like, "Oh, wow, that was an octave off."
Yeah, exactly. But there is something.
That's a great song to start your day.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, no, totally. I mean, music in general has always been a big part of my life. I mean, I played in bands and stuff, but
oh, wow.
I think, yeah, I just it's such a it's it, out of all the kind of creative things, it's I think it has a. For me, it has like there's a chemical reaction in my body. I think there's something really happens when you're listening to music and then performing it as well is very much so.
Oh, well, I haven't got as far as performing.
But you're singing, aren't you?
So I guess you're blessing of that to my four walls and my poor neighbours who I force it upon. But performing it to someone is very different. Mm. I haven't had the pleasure of that yet.
It's nice to be, I don't know about you, but I sort of felt a pressure during lockdown. And I don't know if it was a genuine one or not, to like learn a skill or do something or sort of use my time to like good productivity. I think singing is
this was born out of that.
Yeah, it's good. I'm impressed because I've literally done nothing.
See, I love that though. I wish I could have just done that instead. That's what I'm coming to now, where I'm just spending weeks where I'm like, oh, she can't bother.
I know,
Yeah, it's totally okay. I'm finally allowing myself permission to just not be bothered to do anything.
I was about to say, I'm doing the same. I've been doing it for 36 years, so I'm clearly very good at it at this point. But I think, like, I do think as creatives and as performers, like, I think it's really hard to switch off from that or to have spare time and think, oh, you know, I'm just going to watch TV, because you're always thinking, oh, I could do that thing, or, oh, I haven't finished that, or, oh, I should be working on that. So I think actually it's quite forgiving to actually tell yourself, because I've started watching in the evenings after our daughter's gone to bed, before we are supposed to go up to bed early and we never do. I've started watching, it's a US sitcom, what's it called? Superstore. Have you guys seen it?
I've seen the first episode of that.
Yeah.
It's like, it's sort of very sort of formulaic, classic American US sort of sitcom. But it's quite good, it's quite watchable, and I've just been devouring it. I'm like 6 seasons behind or something. It's been quite nice.
There's about 25 seasons, though. That's the only thing with it.
Yeah.
No, well, I'm joking.
No, there is quite a few.
There's a lot.
I think it got cancelled. I think it got cancelled in lockdown, actually. But it's been quite nice just binge-watching a sort of a nothing show. I don't really know where I'm going with this point, apart from I'm hoping you guys are going to validate it and say, good idea, Jim.
Don't worry, we'll validate you, Jim. It's fine.
Phew, thank you.
But I do that, though. I think I've always tried to overachieve at everything I do to try and seek validation in something. And I did that all through lockdown, right up until it got to, honestly, the 1st of March. And I said to my agent, for the first time in my life, I need to not do anything and just sit and regather my energy and I have never ever in my life said to anyone, okay, I just need to stop. And this was the month. I don't know what it was. I just hit a wall and I was like, right, I just need to sit in my apartment on my own as a hermit and just not do anything. And it feels great.
I was going to say, it feels good to do that.
Yeah. God, I didn't realise how tired I was. But it's great. Whenever I want to have a nap, and I'm like, oh, just going to have a little nap on the sofa.
Oh,
and
nap it feels wonderful. I'm a big nap advocate. I think they're
all right. Around 3 o'clock, every day around 3 o'clock, I'm like, nap time.
What is it about the afternoon? There's an afternoon dip, isn't there? There's a proper sort of lull in the afternoon.
I was going to say, the people in the Mediterranean have it right, where they go, you know, they close the shops in the afternoon and they go and have a rest.
Siesta.
Yeah. It's. I think.
I mean, theirs is probably to do with the heat, though. Like, I guess so.
If only
that use as well. As is the absolute searing heat, and they physically cannot do anything but nap.
Well, I feel like I physically can't do anything at that time of day, but it's not to do with the heat. Well, I think there's something to be said for just resting. Like, we don't, I think, as you know, Jim and I, we've talked about this a lot, it's just we keep going and going, and being freelancers as well, you know, you're constantly kind of get work and do work, you very rarely say no to stuff, but there is something to be said for doing that now and again.
It's changing your mind. I have changed my mindset, where I just tell myself, work will always come. Opportunities are created every single millisecond of the day. There is enough for everyone. Well, I just tell myself that I kind of just cut myself some slack and gave myself permission. And resting, there's resting, which is just, there's different forms of resting, isn't there? Because you could be lying down, but your brain's going do you know what I mean? So I found meditation has really saved my brain.
Every time someone mentioned that on the podcast, I always think, I need to start doing that. And I've never got around to it.
It's not for everyone. It's not for everyone. It's something that you do have to practice, though. I've tried it. I'm like now 2 years into it. And now I'm like, it's a need for me. I feel like I have to do it at some point in my day. But that took a couple of years of getting into that. Starting off 5 minutes here and there.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing.
It does work.
I think that's the thing as well. Because I guess we sort of think, oh, I've got to go and cross my legs in the corner and be there for an hour. Whereas you can actually do it.
Just 5 minutes.
Yeah, 5-10 minutes like of a day. Yeah. And just take yourself out of the moments. And I think it's that feeling of being present as well, isn't it?
I can't remember who it is, one of these meditation videos, and she says, and take the deepest breath you've taken all day. And just even hearing that, you're like, wow, gosh, that really is the longest, deepest breath I have had all day, and I probably have been holding it, my breath up here. And just even that alone, just 2-3 minutes of that is enough. And like you said, Giles, it's not sitting there for hours on end with your legs crossed.
Yeah, because I've been finding recently, actually, that I've been struggling to catch my breath a bit, sort of going short little, you know, you get those short high breaths up here and you can't quite get it. I hope no one listening that's medically tuned can tell me I've got a problem. But I think it might just be stress or tiredness.
Anxiety.
Or anxiety related or something. So,
your body's trying to catch up with life, and even just telling yourself at some point every day, just like, I'm going to take the longest, deepest breath I have taken all day today. And you can just start with that one simple thing every day for the next few weeks and build off that. I started with this app, Headspace, and I kid you not, I couldn't even do 3 minutes. You start in increments, which is like a minute or something up to 10. And I was living with a couple of guys at the time, two of my really good friends, and they got really into it. And I could not get past 3 minutes. I found it so annoying. I wanted to smash my phone. It was irritating. I felt uncomfortable. But you just have this small breakthrough eventually.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Practice. And now I don't get out of my bed unless I've done some small self-love meditation is the one I'm doing at the moment, filling my own cup.
It sounds a bit like running, because I started running at the start of last lockdown because I play a lot of football, and then football disappeared, obviously, for like COVID safety reasons. So I was like, I need to get out the house and like do something. So I started running, and it was the same thing. Like, my first run was horrendous, and I couldn't do more than a couple of minutes. And then there's something about sort of persistence, isn't there? It's like persistence and repetition and just sort of keeping going. You do, by the nature of anything, creative, you know, meditation, running, exercise, you do get better. And I think that is quite encouraging. Makes you feel like you will get to a stage where you'll be slightly better than you are now, hopefully. If you're getting worse, then you're probably doing something wrong. But in theory, hopefully.
Something very wrong.
Something's not working along the way. What I'm saying is I am going to try Headspace at some point. To be honest, we had Wim Hof come on here.
Or something. Oh, my gosh, Wim Hof's amazing. I've just downloaded his app.
Yeah.
I've just downloaded the app for the Wim Hof, the cold shower. I've started with the 60-second. The cold shower.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I looked him in the eyes and I promised him I will start doing cold showers. And I got in my shower the next day. I turned it on cold. I stepped in and the cold water hit my shoulder. And I was like, no. Well, I tried it.
I'm out.
No,
wow. I'm out.
I tried. I can't. It's too cold.
He is amazing. I started that because I do love the heating, and I really, everyone that knows me, I get 2 hot baths a day. I've started having a midday 2 p.m. bath every single day. 2 p.m. every day, I'm like, that time. But yeah, I have started the cold shower thing, and actually I found it weirdly built up my endurance and my stamina.
Oh.
damn it.
It's an incredible feeling you get. The exhilaration when you start warming up is pretty amazing. Yeah. Yeah, we were very lucky to have Wim on the podcast, and he did do his breathing. We did do the breathing techniques with him, didn't we?
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously, his breathing method is quite full on, because you've got that kind of high energy kind of breathing, and then obviously you're holding your breath. But it is, and it is quite intense. But it is amazing, actually. It's remarkable. And I know, I mean, he's a remarkable character. But the cold shower thing is, you know, he says cold shower a day keeps the doctor away. And I think certainly for mental health stuff, it's incredible, actually.
Oh, I need to get back on it. See, I've fallen off the wagon with that.
I'm a hot bath person as well. But I had a bath the other day and I made it a bit too hot. And when I got out, I was sweating. And I remember thinking, that's the exact opposite of what you want to happen after a bath. I was literally in there.
Yeah, that's a little bit too.
Away. Yeah.
I sit in there for hours. I do all my thinking. I find my best thoughts and everything. And I'll put some kind of meditation music on or something. I'll just sit there for hours.
Do you take your phone in the bath? Because I take my phone in the bath, and the other day, for the first time ever, I dropped it in the bath.
Oh, man.
And I had to come out and tell my wife. I was like, so what? You know that thing where you put the phone in the rice and it dries the.
Does that work?
She's like, why? I was like, oh. She's been telling me for months, don't take your phone in the bath. I was like, oh, I may have slightly dropped it in the bath.
Slightly dropped it.
But anyway, actually, the twist of the story is I put it in the box of rice overnight. It works.
And it works.
The speaker gone all tinny and weird, and so I couldn't listen to a podcast or music or anything. Put it in the rice overnight, came out next morning, and the speaker worked. Like fine.
And the rice was cooked.
And I had a lovely rice for breakfast.
And had a biryani the next day.
But it worked, isn't that mad? Actually, it's one of those, I always think, oh, it's bollocks. But it
does work. I've used it before. Yeah. I'm trying to not have my phone on me so much. So I turn it off at night now, every night.
Yeah.
And taking it to the bathroom, yeah, I usually just have my laptop really far away from me, and I'll just put some music on, some meditation music, but trying to get out of the habit of having it with me all the time.
When you say turn it off at night, do you mean then like in the evening, or do you mean when like...
Yeah, so from 9 o'clock-ish, half 9-ish, I completely turn my phone off. I'll never ever sleep with it on, so I've actually invested in a proper alarm clock now.
Yeah.
That I set.
Yeah.
I just feel maybe it's a psychological thing, but I sleep all the way through the night when I turn my phone off, and if it's on, I don't.
Really?
Same. Maybe it's a psychological thing, but don't need it on. We never used to have it on at night.
Yeah. I was thinking about possibly putting it in a room in here, because our bedroom's just there. Putting it in here, so that then when I want to put it in, just keep it in rice, just in case.
You
never know. But if I keep it in here throughout the night, then it means that when I roll over in the morning, instead of grabbing my phone and sitting on my phone for half an hour in my bed, I have to get out of bed and then I'll be up. Like that's,
and then go back to bed and listen to.
No, people say that. People do say that it does get you out of bed. I've got this book, The 5 AM Club, about getting up at 5. But when I'm filming, I get up at 4 anyway.
Oh, my word. That's...
The body clock already gets up. So this month, that's why I was like, I've got a couple of weeks off. I'm actually going to treat myself to a lion, which is like 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, which sounds not very much. But when you're getting up at 4 for work, it's actually quite a lot.
I was going to say, Taj, you've obviously... You're doing the meditation and stuff. Has this sort of stuff helped with work as well? Has it helped with your process when you're working?
Massively. I was thinking it was around 26, 27, I really started getting into all of this. And then especially so the last few years, I just took the pressure off myself and just know that opportunities, everything will always come. And if you just have that mindset, my life has been so abundant, more than it's ever been. More abundant. I get more and more relaxed and less pressure on myself. It's such a weird kind of dynamic, isn't it? I can't really just describe it. Just find a sense of calm and peace in myself, and everything else seems to fall in place naturally.
It's hard to do. It is hard to let that stuff go, though, isn't it? It is hard to... Because there's an element of trust.
Let what go?
Well, because I worry all the time about work, and I think if I'm not emailing enough people or pitching or asking for gigs or whatever, then I won't get them. And there is an element of that, but like, it's just tiring. It's just really stressful and tiring. I don't know if that's lack of sort of trust in my own ability. I don't know. It just.
I think that maybe is that. I've been there. I've really been there. And I just had to let go of the reins and go downstream and just have absolute sheer belief and faith that things, everything that I desire will just come to me. I don't know if that's quite egotistical or whatever, but I just have faith in that. And it just took the pressure off, and that there is just, work is always created just by the law of the universe. It is. And I can't really describe it, to be honest.
Well, it sounds
but it worked for me anyway.
Yeah. So I was going to say, it sounds a bit like, almost like manifesting. You're kind of manifesting those things, aren't you? Those thoughts. And so they come to pass to a certain extent.
Yeah, and it's weird because you feel like manifesting is such an active thing, and you've got to manifest, and you've got to just... But for me, it was more just visualizing it, believing, trusting was a massive part of it, and just living in the end result of I already have what I want.
Mm.
And because of that, most of what I have wanted, I have got. It kind of sounds counterintuitive, like, you know, the whole manifesting thing and being... sitting down and scripting it every single day, and you know, but just for me, it's more of a sense of calm and belief and knowing and living in the end result.
Yeah, it sounds like confidence as well. You know, I guess you have to have self-confidence to be able to do that as well. And that is obviously like gold dust, really. A lot of us struggle with a sort of lack of self-confidence. But I guess once you have that, belief comes that things will happen.
It's all part and parcel of the same kind of circle of confidence, trust, belief, faith, surrender, letting go. For me, surrendering and letting go has probably been the hardest thing for me to do. Because I want to grip tightly onto the outcome sometimes. And don't worry, I have wobbles all the time. But sometimes I just got to take a breath and say, I trust the universe. And whatever is for me just will not pass me by. Sometimes even just something small like that. Just reassure yourself. You can reassure yourself. And that kind of gets you back into alignment again. But look, we all have wobbles. I have wobbles left, right, and center. But knowing that I'll come out of that wobble is enough for me to just sit with it for 5 minutes and then go, okay. Grab my bubble, now I can move on.
Yeah, I think that's a really healthy way of approaching those moments. And it's come up a few times on the podcast before, this idea that what will happen for you will happen at a time when it's ready. Because I think a lot of us get into the creative industries and think, right, I want this, 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 and this. But like sometimes that thing isn't ready for you until you are a bit older or until you've gone through something else and you're sort of more ready. Like I'm writing my first solo show and I've been doing stand-up 9 years. On and off.
Wow.
But now, like, feels, it's weird. It feels like the right time. I've been wanting to do it for years.
Yeah.
But there's something about this right now that feels sort of like the right time to do it. But if you told me when I started stand up, you have to wait 9 years to do your first audition, I'd have been like, what the fuck off? No, I want to do it next year. But I guess there is sometimes a sort of power in the acceptance. You think, well, this thing will happen to you, but it'll happen. You know, I'm a very different person now to 9 years ago.
Yeah.
It will happen when you're ready, and you might not even realise that you're ready for the thing to happen until you get to that stage. And that, I guess that is a similar sort of thing, of this letting go and this sort of acceptance that it will happen, but, you know, maybe when you're more
ready. That's also shown that you do have faith in yourself, because you've believed it through and seen it through those 9 years. Imagine if we all had everything we wanted right now, would we genuinely enjoy it? No, I probably wouldn't enjoy what I'm getting now. Yeah, yeah. 5-10 years ago, yeah. Because I don't want everything all at once. It's nice to have things in increments and at different times and stuff, and then just enjoying the journey and letting go of the oars and going through the process of it. Because then we're always going to want more things, aren't we?
Yeah.
Can never get it done. the wants and stuff. But that shows that some element of you has faith and belief in yourself.
That's really nice to hear, actually, because it is hard to think like that sometimes. It really is. And I genuinely swing day to day. Some days I'm like, yes. And I've literally, before I came on, I've been like literally writing the show on paper. It feels really good to write on paper. I just don't do it enough.
No, I'm the same, paper and pen. It kind of goes back. We have this real negative notion of, oh, look at her, she really loves herself. Oh, look at him, he really loves himself. But actually, I think that's a really positive thing. Yeah, we should love ourselves. If someone says to me, oh, gosh, you really love yourself, don't you? I think, yeah, I flipping do, because why wouldn't you want to love yourself? And I think it comes with a little bit of, like, what you were saying, oh, the faith in myself, thank you. That feels a bit weird and uncomfortable, because as a society, maybe we don't like to see people who kind of have that faith and confidence and love for themselves.
I think we have a weird dichotomy where we like to break down confident people, I think, don't we?
We like the underdogs, don't we?
Yeah, it's quite a British thing, I think.
But yeah, I mean, it's a British thing. But we like to, I don't know, I think the Americans do it as well, but like, we like to sort of break down, we like to like build people up. You're amazing. And they get to a certain level and like, who do you think you are? You get back in your box.
Yeah, why not?
It's a really weird, yeah. We are.
It's yeah. So bizarre.
I don't know why we do it. Because I think it's half it's jealousy, because like we see these people do really well and we think, oh, I want to be like that. Well, they can't have it. If I can't have it, they can't have it. And actually, it should be aspirational to think, well, that person's built themselves up to that level and they've got a level of self-confidence and they trust themselves and believe in themselves. I can do it too, rather than, well, I can't do it, so they can't do it, so we need to bash this person down. But
yeah, for me, it's knowing, because look, in my early 20s, I went through the whole thing of feeling like that. And actually, when I just thought, oh, there's enough for everyone. There really is enough for everyone. Of course there is. And just changing it and just thinking, just because someone else has got something doesn't mean you can't have it and that they've taken that from you.
Yeah.
There is also enough for you as well. I say that with young actors and stuff who, you know, ask for advice and stuff and things. Just know that one person getting a job is not taking that job from you. There is also another job for you. It just the way it is. Sometimes I read scripts and I just know straight away this is someone else's job. This part is not right for me.
Yeah.
And I just let it go because I know that another one will come.
Yeah.
But yeah, in the freelancing world, I suppose that's tricky because we're creating our own.
Well, yeah, also we are. I mean, no one's told me directly this, but that you sort of get a notion of like, well, I'm competing with all the other people in this space, so I have to compare myself to these people. Or you sort of just do it naturally. I see people that get in a gig, and I think, why am I not getting that? Instead of thinking, oh, good lineup, oh, that'll be a good night, I'm thinking, why am I not getting that gig? And it's just really hard not to compare yourself to people and think that you're competing with all these people in your space. When, as you say, there's enough for everyone and your time will come. And that, like you say, that script might not be right. Or I do advert castings and stuff. And I think the advert probably isn't. Actually, I got penciled for a couple and then I sort of didn't get it and saw them on TV. And I saw one and I was like, oh yeah, that guy's so much better for that than me. Like I would have been okay in it, but he actually is absolutely perfect. He sort of played it in a, to be honest, played it in a more sort of muted
way
than I did.
Was that the pot noodle one?
No, it wasn't the pot noodle.
Oh, is he living over the pot noodle?
No, it was.
He looked amazing in that pot noodle outfit. I just wouldn't have
he really
been able to pull it off.
The pot noodle. I can't remember what it was now. It's a guy at a fun fair. I can't remember, but yeah, it's just hard. It is just hard.
It's a human innate quality, though, and we will always have that. And actually, a competition is healthy. I mean, you know, from caveman times and even before that, like, we have to have some level of challenge and competition to survive.
True, yeah.
That's absolutely fine. It's fine, and give yourself permission to feel like that. But it's more just thinking, I don't know how I changed my thoughts. It's just not thinking I'm like outright direct competition with that person. I just think that opportunity is theirs, mine will come.
Yeah.
Or mine is coming, or I already have mine that they might not be right for. We can't be right for every single thing, especially, you know, for me as an actress. I know I'm not going to be right for every single role. That's just nigh on impossible. And it's just accepting that.
Yeah.
Jim, it's us again.
It is. We're here again with another special announcement. And this one, Giles, is about a patron that we've launched, because we love our blank community and we want to offer something extra to give back to them.
We do. We do. We do love our community very, very much. And it's lovely interacting with our community on a weekly basis. But we want to just give you a bit more stuff, more blank stuff, because we feel that you might enjoy it.
Yeah, so we're trying to expand our community and expand what we can offer back to you guys for your support. So we're doing what every other podcast in the world is doing. We're starting a patron, which means we can offer you guys more content. So our patron URL is patreon.com, which is patreon.com/blankpodcast. And there, Giles, is a range of options you can sign up to.
Yeah, there's all sorts of things that people can get from our various different tiers that you can find on there. How many tiers are there altogether, Jim?
Well, there's 4 tiers in total, and they offer a range of things. For example, you can get ad-free episodes. You can get them 24 hours earlier than the public get them. There's bonus content with our guests that only patrons will get. Giles, there's a 20% code off merchandise.
Oh my goodness, there's even more stuff that you can get that's blank orientated. There's also going to be a very exclusive Facebook group that people can interact with us and one another, and we can talk about all different things, but obviously we can talk about the various guests coming out. We might be able to give you our patrons some special insights into what guests are coming on so that they can pitch some questions themselves.
Exactly. Just another way we're trying to get our listeners really involved in the community and the making of blank. And then in the top tier, there's going to be bonus episodes, Giles.
Yeah, and we're even going to do some director's commentary where we tell you a little bit more about the sort of things that have gone on when we've either gone to record with someone, or the process of recording, the feelings we had on those days, and just give you a little bit more insight into, I guess, what goes into making a podcast.
Indeed. So if all that sounds like the sort of thing you'd like to get on board with, and you'd like to join our ever-expanding blank community and also help us keep making this podcast, because your support through Patreon will help us keep making blank, and we would really, really appreciate it, because we love making this podcast and we want to keep doing it forever, essentially. Please do go to patreon.com, that's patreon.com/blankpodcast, and sign up to whichever tier takes your fancy.
Did you always want to be, and I want to be, we obviously spoke earlier about what you wanted to be, a singer, but was acting something you always thought you might go into?
I actually wanted to be a rip speed specialist at Alfred's for a while.
What?
I was, listen, right, me and my circle of friends, we were obsessed with the girls that I grew up with, around 15 to 18, 19, obsessed with cars. So, like, when one of us got a car, we all got our licenses when we were, like, 17, and we would go down, this is awful, me and my friend Catherine, country lanes together, and we'd, like, teach each other to pull handbrake turns and stuff
God.
Like that.
Oh, God. Amazing.
I was wild. And then I wanted to be a boxer, a hairdresser. There was all these different elements, but really deep down, I knew that it would have been some element of storytelling, writing, singing, acting, directing, something to do with storytelling. It was the one thing that I was always drawn back to. But up until 16, there was loads of different things that I toyed with.
So I'm just Googling rip speed, because I literally don't know what
that is. Oh, do you not know the rip speed counter in Halfords?
No, what is
Come
it?
On,
you have
Jim.
Not lived.
Clearly not.
Modifying cars, basically. I was
so did you do that? Did you put spoilers on and go faster stripes?
Well, no, I worked at Halfords on tills. I mean, I was never cut out to actually get on to rip speed, but I loved just every element of it. I can't tell you now, but at the time I knew what filter you needed on your car, what everything. It was around the time when, like, Vauxhall Novas and Vauxhall Astros were really in.
So when I used to rehearse in Brighton with the band, was down on Madeira Drive, which is on the seafront, and on a Sunday evening, that was the place for all the boy racers to turn up.
So I would have been hanging around with
the girl
them.
Racers. I guess there must be some girl racers as well. But, and they had all these like, yeah, like you say, Vauxhall Novas, Fiestas. There was one with a Capri. I mean, I'm not talking like, okay. I mean, it was obviously like, and they'd obviously spent so much money on these vehicles. And I was, you always start thinking, mate, if you just kept some of that money, you could have got such a good car. But I suppose it's the element of like, you know, creating these beasts. And then they just used to run.
The beast element,
yeah,
isn't it?
And then they just used to race up and down with these. With these like bizarre and the engines on them sounded awful and you said, oh man.
Don't. I loved it. The neon lights.
Yeah.
Under my car. I even bought pink ones for my first ever car, which amazing. Was a Corsa. And I just wanted the neon lights underneath. I wanted dice. All the modifications.
Did you have the hanging dice in the on the
I had the yellow smiley faces. Do you remember those?
Yeah.
Dank. Oh god, now that smell, because I worked on the tills at Halfords and they always used to be on the tills. The blacked out windows, I knew which tint classy. Film you could have for your car and how to put it on. And honestly, I was obsessed. But at the same time, I was still going to college training to be an actress. Honestly, I was a massive walking contradiction. I just didn't know who I was at the time. And look, I still do love cars. But
wait, so if a role came up, for a rip speed specialist, I mean, that if a script came into that is your role. Like, that's
really specific. Yeah.
Do you know that they keep making those Fast and Furious movies? There's going to be an opportunity, I think.
Well, yeah, no, I want to do this the more kind of northern chappy version, which is what I was. Yeah, really funny. I was just really into it. And yeah, me and Catherine, we'd go down these country lanes, we'd really rag our cars around, and we'd really try and pull these handbrakes. We had no fear.
Yeah.
You're 17, 18, you've just got no fear whatsoever. Probably did way too many illegal things, driving each other's cars and stuff like that. But whatever, you live and learn. Like, you do those things when you're younger, don't you? It's part of life experience.
Yeah,
I wouldn't do it now.
Yeah,
but
as you say, you're fearless when you're
fearless.
But also, you're experimenting and you're sort of trying out life and you're trying to find out who you are. You know, and again, like, I think people want to put you in boxes when you're young, and I think you sometimes you can feel like an outsider really quickly. I think if you're not. So I was a football kid growing up, so that was really easy. He plays football, everyone knows sort of what you are. But don't know, it's hard sometimes, I think, if you don't fit into any boxes or you're into something a bit niche. But that's part of growing up. Like, you know,
niche.
Niche, like, you know, rip speed specialist, for example. No. I don't know. I just think it's hard. It's tough being young, working out what you're doing. I mean, I'm still, some of us get to mid-30s and still working it out.
You can never get it done and you never get it wrong, I say. Actually, that's an Abraham Hicks quote. You can never get it done, you can never get it wrong. You can't. Like, if someone said to me, oh, you did all this stuff when you were younger, I'd just say, yeah, I know I did. I mean, what do you want me to do? I was a rebel. I didn't know who I was. I was pushing the boundaries all the time, just trying to figure out who Taj was. And like you said, you're still trying to figure it out every day, still trying to. But I would not want to be a kid now.
No,
everything's filmed, everything's videoed.
I
don't know, that beauty of just not having that and just being with your mates and not having the phone glued to your hand and pictures of everything. I mean, when I went out, we'd take a full-on disposable camera.
Yes. And then the excitement of getting it developed the next
day. Getting the print
developed. Go to Boots and they're all out, they're all blurry, all out of focus. Oh,
the thumb over every original selfie. Yeah.
Exactly.
God, I loved it. And I'd get all my Boots points, go to get them developed.
Well, I'm a bit older than you two, so it was Polaroid cameras when I was.
Oh, wow.
Seriously?
Okay, yeah, that's
cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, they're in now.
It's instant, isn't it? Get an instant photograph.
They're in. Did you keep any of your Polaroid cameras?
No. They're probably worth loads of money.
Get a bit wedge on them.
Yeah, that was silly. So you said you were, around that time you were doing like an acting course. You were in drama school or were you doing an acting course?
I was at York College doing a BTEC. I loved it. I had the most supportive tutors and they really, to be honest, it was thanks to them that I actually pushed myself, but I was really encouraged to go into acting because you know, I was a bit of a rebel and a truant and stuff. And they just still said, just come back, keep trying, keep knuckling down, keep doing it. And they just constantly gave me opportunities and reassurance and guidance. And they just, they let me make mistakes, learn them, and then just carry on and kind of held my hand through that and encouraged me to go to drama school, helped me with all my old college, helped me with all my applications. They helped me with all my auditions, and gave me every bit of support that I needed. I cannot thank them enough. And then went to drama school.
It's amazing how often this comes up on the podcast that people can look back and pinpoint one or two teachers that, like, and still remember their names and sort of their faces and just that helped them along the way. It's funny, these sort of, I was going to call them sliding doors moments. It mightn't be that dramatic, but like, there are people along the way that can just sort of point you in the right direction and just.
Well, also, Jim, I'd say that you getting that level of encouragement as well, I think, you know.
It's the encouragement and the support. But your college had this fantastic department of, like, I think it's called Connections, and Rebecca van der Aar, and they had counselling and everything for the students. I don't know what it's like now, but I'm sure it's just as good. But that level of support, you can't put a price on that.
Yeah, and again, as we say, that time when you're kind of, a little bit lost sometimes, to have that is so vital, I think. I mean, I think that, you know, a lot of kids of that age do get a bit lost. You know, I know we've talked to Jim about people coming out of university as well, having that same sort of feeling of not knowing what they're going to do. But to have that level of encouragement and focus, to focus you in one direction, I think that's, honestly, it's great. I think it's really lovely. It's always lovely to hear it.
Yeah, I think the main thing was this being allowed to make a mistake, what we would perceive as a mistake, which actually is just a part of fundamental growing up in childhood. But giving a child or a teenager the room to do that, because no one gets it right, really, and not kind of coming down on them like a ton of bricks and just saying, okay, what can we learn from this and how can we come out of it? And I've had so many people holding my hand.
Yeah, I remember my head of sixth form. Sixth form didn't really work out for me. But I remember my head of sixth form, Mr. Butterworth, his name was, and he was a Norwich City fan. And I remember that because... Are you a Norwich fan?
Yeah, I'm from Norwich.
Yeah, you're from Norwich, aren't you, originally?
There you go. Well, yeah. I mentioned Canaries. It. There we go, up the Canaries. Having a good season, having a very good season.
I'm a Glory supporter. I don't follow them anymore, but my brother is obsessed. So
they'll be back in the Prem next season, definitely. So they're doing
very well. 3 year relegated.
Palace, like in the '90s, up and down. Where did the boring mid-table Premier League team now? But basically, he was our head of sixth form, and I used to have him for general studies. That was a course we had at the time, general studies. Which is basically sort of a DOS course. But he would basically counsel me. Like, we'd chat about, I don't really think we did the course, but we'd chat about, like, why I was struggling and what was going wrong. We'd chat about football. That would be our entry into these conversations. And, yeah, looking back, actually, he was probably my first sort of counsellor, because he was just very understanding and, like you said, sort of supportive and wouldn't admonish me if I'd made mistakes. I basically never turned up. For French, like, I just didn't. I felt so overwhelmed. I just didn't bother turning up. I used to go and get doner kebabs at midday in Oxted.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I'm a vegetarian now, but yeah, that was. that wouldn't have been great. Great for my insides. But yeah, it was just interesting. Like, he was a really, Mr. Butterworth. He was a good guy. He helped a lot. I then went to a different college in my gap year, and then went to uni, and he was but it's just, I don't know if a lot of kids get that support, but you're lucky when you have had it.
I mean, yeah, I honestly don't know what it's like now, but I definitely did. But I'm sure there's still loads of tutors and stuff like that out there, I'm sure. I hope.
Yeah, no, I think there are. Yeah, no, I do think they are. So drama school, what was did you enjoy drama school? Was it a time, I mean, I can imagine that it's quite pressurised.
I don't know. I just feel like it was all a big blur. Okay. The first year I just was so different to my peers that I think that was a big, the whole first year was just an adjustment period of them getting to know someone like me, who was very different to who they were, and me getting to know people who I'd never really experienced before. You know, I remember like one of my, I can't remember what it was. We all had to sit around and talk about something we'd done in our summer holidays or something. And, you know, people have been backpacking around Vietnam and stuff like that. Just all this stuff that was a world away from anything that I knew. My biggest highlight was I went to see the Spice Girls.
What are you going to say? Like, guys, have you heard about Rip Speed?
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, even that, they just couldn't, you know, but I really made some good friends. I don't really keep in touch with so many of them anymore. We kind of all grown up and stuff, but I keep in touch with one or two. But I would say mainly those 3 years with me trying to undo all of my flaws and trying to adjust and learn how to be with people who were not like me. Mm. I'm sure I was an absolute pain in the ass for 3 years, which I can only apologize for. And then kind of around the third year, I really started to come into my own, and I started to discover people like Harold Pinter, Alan Ayckbourn, playwrights and work that I thought, oof, yeah, this is stuff that I can really see myself in. And really started to see a future in acting. But again, I just didn't give myself loads of pressure. I said to myself, right, I'm going to give myself 2 years when I graduate. I'm going to try and get at least one or two jobs in those 2 years. I'd given myself a really good amount of time, and it was a nice, healthy amount of breathing space to just secure a job or two. Gave myself permission to figure it out, and I carried on going to classes all the time at the Actors Centre, any class that I could think of, just to be better. I just wanted just to be a really good actress, because I knew leaving drama school didn't mean I was like ready to do anything and everything. I knew I still had to keep learning. But it was an interesting time.
So you kind of built a work ethic during that time then, with regards to acting?
Oh, yeah. I mean, drama, especially our drama school, that it instills it into you. Discipline. Yeah. I mean, you're getting up at 8 o'clock every day. You work it through right through till six. Every single day was an hour of working out, really high intense working out. Then you could go straight to 3 hours of dance, straight to 3 hours of acting or 3 hours of ballet. And it's really, really rigorous. And the discipline, you keep that with you for life.
Mm.
I would say, for sure.
Yeah, I wish I had that discipline when I was younger.
So you went to uni. I think it's different at uni, isn't it? I don't know what the hours are like.
Do you actually do anything at university?
Have Madonna.
I didn't go to university.
Go back to bed.
Go and cry, Mr. Butterworth's office. Yeah. Or whatever it's called.
Go and chat to him about Norwich. My uni wasn't very pressurised. I mean, it was the exact opposite of that. It was very much do your own thing.
What did you study?
I did journalism.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I thought I really wanted to be a journalist, and then I actually spent 3 years realising that I didn't want to be a journalist.
Babe, what a useful 3 years. You needed that contrast to know what you didn't want to do.
Well, I then actually did go into journalism.
How far into the... Jim, how far into the 3 years did you realise you didn't want to do
graduation? Probably
the first couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just tough at that age. You just don't think you know what you want, and then you get a taste of it and think, oh, I don't know, really. And it's just... Yeah, I came out of uni not really sure what I wanted to do, and then... Did a bit of work experience, sort of fell into it, then got to my mid-20s, decided didn't want to do it, went to do something else. And I've been doing comedy since I was, 28, 29. But that might change. I might want to do something else in my 40s. I don't know.
Oh, I always say to people, don't stay in your own lane. Go in every other lane. I love it when people branch out and do different things. I'm all for it.
Yeah. And
why not?
And there's no time limit on that. Like, it's never, you're never too late to, you know, retrain and do something else. You know, you'd say going to the Actors Centre and still training and stuff and practicing and doing bits. Like, I think we can always learn and we can always do something else if you want to. I know there's like...
Absolutely.
I know there's financial worries and stuff, and, you know, you have to be sort of... I was about to say sensible, is that the word I mean? You know, realistic, I guess, but I don't know. Gone are the days of jobs for life and people training for one thing and that's it. Like, I think you can, like, as you say, broaden your horizons, get in a different lane.
Yeah, definitely.
But...
I have many a book on many a different things, none of which I've finished yet. At one point I was like, oh, well, only a few months because I'm going to study economics while I'm at home, and got a book on economics because I was like, yeah, I'm going to be a really good business owner, but I read like one page.
Good idea, though. I mean, actually, being good at economics, that would... Yeah, well, my dad's an accountant, so I sort of let him do all my tax and stuff, but... I do sometimes wish, like oh, I wish I'd maybe trained in, like, a trade or something. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
do you?
I wish I was good at cars. I'd quite like being a car mechanic, or, like, I wish I was good at DIY.
Rip speed
or
expert.
Rip speed. You know.
Be a rip speed specialist.
No, I think those are, you know, good skills to have. But who knows? Maybe I will at some point. Who knows? I got, you know.
But two.
Maybe I'll...
You'll change the tyres on my car.
I've never changed a tyre.
Do you know what? That is one skill that I really want to learn. Know how to change the tyres on my car.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good one. Oh, no, I have. Have I? I think I have once. Changed a tyre when I was very young. But...
Wow. That's a skill. I'm impressed.
I might be making that up. I've got very heavy. But yeah, I don't know. I don't really know where I'm going with this.
Jim, it's us again, and we've got some big news.
We have indeed. Giles, I can't believe I'm saying this. We've written a book about blank moments based on this very podcast.
Yeah, we've been recording this podcast for a while now, and as we've been doing, we've realised that everyone has these difficult blank moments. All our wonderful guests that we have on the podcast and our listeners get in touch with us all the time to tell us about their own situations, their own experiences of blank moments. And sometimes that can be from a personal life, from their career, the relationships they're in, or maybe it's a public situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those terms that can be applied to anything. Social anxiety, imposter syndrome, just sort of generally being off form, having an identity crisis. I mean, it's all part of the human condition. And yet we all get thrown off from time to time and sort of made to feel a bit helpless.
Yeah, so the book is made up of all these different chapters that sort of concentrate on these various themes that come up in the pod. So whether it's public failure, social anxiety, fear, mental health, grief, all the things that our amazing guests have talked about on the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, and those guests include Louis Theroux, David Harbour, Reggie Hunter, Dawn French, Rachel Paris, Amanda Abington, John Ronson, Rufus Sewell, Gary Lineker, all these people that really opened up to us about these difficult moments. And what we've done is we've dived into them, explained how we relate to them, talked a little bit about our own experiences, and almost gone on a journey of this discovering blank moments and how they've helped us. And we hopefully take the reader on a journey with us.
Yeah, there's loads of stuff in there for everybody, I think. It's a bit memoir, it's a bit self-help, and there's lots of interactive bits in there as well, so you can do your own gratitude list, and there's tips on if you're having sleeping problems. So all different things that you can take out of the book. And where can people get hold of this book, Jim?
Well, so it comes out in March in 2021, but it's available to pre-order right now from Amazon, waterstones.com and hive.co.uk.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to everyone getting their hands on it, and hopefully lots of people will be able to identify their own blank moments, and you never know what you might find out. Well, funny enough, I had this conversation with a friend of mine yesterday who, he's a police officer, and he's thinking about changing careers because he just he's not enjoying the job, and he's really into making biltong, which is like
wow,
like dried cured meat, you know.
Meat, yeah.
I'm about to say, have I got to Google something else?
Yeah, it's like a bit like beef jerky, I suppose.
Yeah, it is beef jerky, really, isn't it? That biltong's just a certain brand.
Yeah,
I
think that's just like a sort of overall kind of thing.
There is a vegan one I really want to try. Ah. I don't eat meat. But yeah there's a vegan Bill Tong.
Is there? What's that made from?
I don't know. Maybe like, what's it called? Jackfruit, maybe, or something? I don't know.
Yeah, that would make sense.
I've had vegan pulled pork, which is jackfruit.
Yeah.
That's Delish. Really nice. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was saying yesterday, oh, you know, I'm not enjoying the job. And then he got talking to someone outside a coffee shop. We were just getting a coffee, and he was from South Africa, and biltong's huge in South Africa. And they got talking about biltong, and he said, oh, it would be really good to maybe make a build, like get a little unit and start making it more and more an industrial sized thing. And he was really thinking about doing it. And he said, what do you think? And I said, look, mate, I'm not the best person to talk about things like this with, because I will always say, go for it with your heart and soul.
Yeah.
You know, just.
Oh my gosh, you never know unless you try.
Like, just, you know, I said, but, you know, that might not be helpful. You've got a family support and everything, and I'm not very pragmatic in those moments. But I think it is. I think it's really, if you've got a dream or even an inkling for something, doing something else, I think you just have to go for it.
Why not? Absolutely. Because you just never, ever, ever, ever know. Oh, I hope it takes off for him. It sounds very exciting.
I do. Yeah, I hope he does it. But it goes back to that thing of just, yeah, I think sometimes you do. You have to go with your gut and, you know, do you find that you do that with regards to work? Do you know if you get offers of things or you're going for things that, like you said earlier, you alluded to it, that, you know, sometimes parts aren't right. You get a script, you think, well, this isn't for me. Do you use your gut quite a lot with regards to work?
Yeah, I just sometimes just know when I read something, I'm like, this is another actress's gig who can just probably just do it differently to me and probably more suited. But I feel like maybe now where I'm at, I'm doing parts that push me, and I've just trying to take myself into maybe a different place with my career, doing kind of more movies now as well. And so I've done a lot of comedy in my career. So just pushing myself now and seeing where I can go test my skills, see what I'm capable of.
Yeah, because you've worked on some big shows as well. You know, obviously there's a big one coming out this week that you've been involved with, Line of Duty.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy working on those big productions?
Yeah, absolutely. I love being out of my comfort zone, and I'm not always going to get it right. And sometimes I look back and think, oh, it was a bit shit in that, but I just honestly don't care, because it's the only way to learn and move forward. And it's only ever really me that's going to be my own biggest critic. I'm not really bothered what anyone else thinks of it. I am, obviously, I want them to enjoy the show, but I'm only ever looking at myself to think, right, what can I do to improve and for the next job? But yeah, I love being a part of big shows. Absolutely.
You were just sort of saying there, like, do you watch yourself back sometimes? Are you self-critical sometimes about performances?
I like watching the shows that I've been. Not everything. I haven't sat and watched everything that I've been in. I'll be honest with you, but most of the stuff I have, mainly because there are 300 to 400 people who've put their time and effort into making something, and I think it's really poor form to not be bothered to sit and watch the effort that everyone has put in. Because it's not just you, you know, as much as we'd like to think with the centre of the universe, everyone has put time and effort in. And I personally, for me, I learn, grow and expand from watching myself back and seeing myself in scenes. Okay, now I've moved on a year on and I watch it back, what would I do differently now? Knowing the skills that I, having the skills that I have now, how would I have played that scene differently? And it works for me. I know some people don't like to watch themselves, but yeah, that's how I like to learn.
I think that's a healthy way to approach it. I record all my gigs when I do stand-up and then sort of listen back to it on the way home. And it can be excruciating sometimes, like sort of hearing your own voice.
Oh, gosh, it's like pulling teeth.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's comfortable. I'm not saying it's a comfortable, easy watch, but
yeah. And you can.
Yeah, I imagine with comedy, that's quite hard. How do you
get
feedback?
If you know it's been a bad gig, then maybe don't listen back to it. But if it's been like a, you know, 5 out of 10 or above, then It's just like listening for sort of the way you say things and the audience reaction. Did they laugh a bit too early? Did you not get to the punchline quick enough? Did they laugh a bit? You didn't think they were going to laugh. Oh, can I make that into something?
Yeah.
But analysing yourself, I think is quite difficult. Because it's like you're sort of exposing yourself to yourself. That sounds weird. That didn't come out how I thought it was going to come out.
Wow.
That came out very wrong.
Exposing yourself to yourself.
Whatever floats your boat, Jim. That's what makes you happy.
I tell you what, that is the first single from Howling Wolf, I'm telling you now.
that did not come out right. But you know what I mean? You're sort of analysing yourself, I guess, and it can be uncomfortable.
But we are our own biggest, no one really is going to be a bigger critique than yourself. So if you can sit with yourself and work through that and make notes and figure out where you're going to improve and stuff, then it really doesn't matter what anyone else says.
But how good is it though, when you do watch yourself back or listen to yourself back and think, oh, that was quite good. Oh, that, you know, it's so encouraging.
Yeah, you should feel proud of yourself.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. There's stuff I've watched back and thought, oh, really proud of the way I did that scene, or I'm happy with the way that scene has worked out. Because when you're on, I mean, it must be the same with stand up every time, like, oh, I could just go back and do that again.
With stand up, like, you've said it, it's out there, and it might only be like 10 people in the room that have heard it, but like still 10 other people. You can't really sort of take it back. But
can you do the same material? Do you do the same material at different shows?
I literally have about 10 minutes material ever, so I just do the same 10 minutes at most shows. But no, you're supposed to. I mean, I'm writing a whole hour, which is difficult.
That sounds scary.
The main problem I have is remembering it. Like, writing it's not too bad. Like, trying to remember it, I struggle with remembering like a 20-minute set sometimes. Like, trying to remember, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm going to have so many notes.
There must be techniques you can use to, you know.
Teleprompter, line learner. Where you record it in and then you just hear it back when you're going for your runs and stuff.
That's a good idea, actually. Yeah, possibly. I've not heard of that. Wow.
Yeah, nine years really good app. It's called Line Learner, and you just put your dialogue in there and you just hear it back.
I'm literally going to write that down. it's just repetition, I think. I think the more you do it, like, so yeah, Line Learner is a good idea, but the more you do things, the more you sort of get used to it. But I mean, I'm going to break up this show with the sort of visuals and the songs and stuff like that, so that obviously chunks to sort of fill up the time and stuff. But see how it goes. The first page is half done, so that's obviously, I basically got 9 pages and they're all going to be about hopefully 5 minutes, so
sweet.
We'll see what happens. What was the question?
Well, I was going to say, like, obviously all these experiences, you know, like every stand-up gig you do, every part you play, or every day you're on set, this is learning curve. It's a growth. You're growing in, you know, whether you do it well or you do it badly, that is a moment of growth for you as a person. And you can look and reflect on those moments, and sometimes they're not so good and sometimes they're really excellent, but you can take away from that, you know, an experience that you've had, and that you have grown as a person, and as an actor, or as a comedian, or as a writer, whatever it might be.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously the overarching goal when you perform as a performer is you do want people to enjoy your work. It's just not being so hard on yourself if it didn't quite land, because then you'll learn from that, like you said, and put it onto the next project.
Well, and also, and not everything can be perfect either. Like, you can't be perfect every time. Not like you can't nail every audition. Like, you can't nail every gig. Like, that's just, it's like physically impossible. So there will be bad moments and teachable moments, I think they call them, don't they? And so you.
Badable. That's a new word.
Badable. Yeah,
I think you just created a. Is that a word? I love it. I'm going to use it.
I think I just created a word. Yeah.
I feel like you may have done.
And that's the second album for Howling howling.
That's the second album. It's the difficult second album.
That's the second track.
It's the really tricky.
I never
It's the really
notes
tricky second
episodes.
Album that they Howling Wolf spent 6 months in the studio trying to write Badable, and
it's not going to be reviewed well, is it?
The producer left halfway through the production
because they were insistent on calling it Badable. Do you want to do a different name? No, it's the one thing we're sticking with. Right,
well, Taj, honestly, sorry, I was going to say it's been an absolute delight to talk to you. Thank you so much
for
your time today. It's been wonderful, wonderful to talk to you, and I can't wait for all your new projects. The Syndicate's coming out. So is that when's that being aired?
Yes, we finally have a date. It's the 30th of March.
Fantastic.
9 p.m.
Lovely.
So Tuesday. That's great. So that'd be fantastic to watch that. And you know, I'm a big fan of your work. So looking forward to seeing
thanks
you. Lots
so
of things.
Thanks so much for having me.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. No, thank you. It's been a joy.
Brilliant.
It's been a fun one. Yeah, it's been really, really fun. Thanks for
Put the world to rights.
Putting the world to rights. Learning about Rip Speed. I mean, what more do you want?
Exactly.
No, thanks, guys.
Brilliant.
Well, there you go. I'm trying to read your lips to see if the timing is right.
Well, you always say that, well, there you go.
Well, there you go.
Well, there you go.
We nearly got it. Actually, in the edit, I can make it go.
We can sync it. We can sync it
perfectly.
We could do the whole thing, just talking over each other.
We could do. It'd be like sort of layered voices, wouldn't it? We could harmonise it.
Well, we are. That would be, how would we are? Let's try and do... Well, there you go, harmonised.
Okay, you do down, I'll do up. One, two, three.
Well, there you go. didn't work. Let's try again.
One, two, three. Well, there you go. No. It's not
shit,
hearing. Anyway.
I'm just saying it lower and you're just saying it higher.
Anyway. Let's thank Taj Atwell for coming on. What a fantastic guest. Positive, friendly, upbeat, some great advice. And
wonderful name for bands.
Great name for a band. Let us into the world of Rip Speed. I mean, honestly, I feel like we covered a lot of bases there on that.
Many bases were covered. It was such a joy. Love Taj.
Yeah.
And wonderful. What a privilege to sit down and have a chat with her. So, thank you so much for coming on. And, it was a really, really great podcast.
It was very enjoyable. It was a really enjoyable one to be a part of, and I think we all need that at the moment as well, saying right at the top you had a bit of a week, so it's nice, I think, then to connect with someone who's got that sort of energy. It can genuinely sort of make your day, actually, because I think we'll both go away from this now sort of, we're finishing about midday here. I think it'll give us a spring in the step for our afternoon, and that's just from having chatted to someone with a nice energy like she had. So makes a difference.
Big time, man. I think, we're so lucky with these conversations, but when you're having a dark day, the Punk Podcast for me is a real light moment. So thank you.
That's a good little tagline as well. We should write that down. Anyway, I think we need to give people our Twitter handle and stuff, and then they can... Oh, God, sorry. I'll edit that out.
What are you doing? You burping?
I burped, sorry.
No, you've got to leave that in.
I'm just so uncouth.
That's so Badable, man.
That's Badable.
That's proper Badable.
There you go. Can you use it in a sentence? Yes, Jim burped on the live on the pod, and it was Badable.
It was Badable.
Anyway, if you would like to get in contact with us, if you enjoyed this episode or any others, and let us know what you think, any takeaways from this episode, please do. Our Twitter handle is
@blankpod.
And our Facebook and Instagram is exactly the same.
@blankpod.
We also have an email address. If you'd like to email us, we'd love to hear from you. Our email address is
theblankpodcast@2018. No, it's not that. Fuck.
2018.
theblankpodcast2018@gmail.com. Seamless.
That's the
one. Pro.
That's the one. We are pros, mate.
We were talking on the pod about growing and getting better after your, every every time you do these, you get better at them because you've learned from the last time when you made a mistake.
Yeah. I think today is a classic example.
Next time it'll be
slightly less baddable.
Oh dear.
Well, it's been a fun one today. It's been a fun one this week. So I mean, they're all fun, but this has been it's been good.
It's been a funnable one.
Don't push it. One word an episode. I think we'll keep funnable for next week in our back pocket. Is funnable the opposite of baddable?
No, goodable would be the opposite of baddable.
That's a fair point. This needs more thought, doesn't it?
Goodable, funnable, baddable. Badabing, baddable.
I think we should just leave there. We should just... that's your outro, done. Anyway, thanks for listening. I'm going to leave you with the debut sound of Mercury-nominated Howling Wolf. Have a safe week. Look after yourselves. Hope it's not too baddable. And we'll see you next week on the Blank Podcast.
On the Blank Podcast.
Media Podcast.